I do so, said Aragorn, and I care not whether you say now Asea, Aranian, or Kingsfoil, so long as you have some. Your pardon, lord, said the man. I see you are a law master, not merely a captain of war, but alas, sir, we don't keep this thing in the houses of healing, where only the gravely hurt or sick are tended, for it has no virtue that we know of, save perhaps to sweeten a fouled air, or to drive away some passing heaviness, unless, of course, you give heed to rhymes of old days which women such as our good Eorath still repeat without understanding. When the black breath blows, and death's shadow grows, and all lights pass, come Arthelas, come Arthelas, life to the dying, in the king's hand lying. It is but a doggerel life here, garbled in the memory of old wives. Its meaning I leave to your judgment, if indeed it has any, but old folks still use an infusion of the herb for headaches. Then in the name of the king, go and find some old man of less lore and more wisdom who keeps some in his house, cried Gandalf. Now Aragorn knelt beside Faramir, and held a hand upon his brow, and those that watched felt that some great struggle was going on, for Aragorn's face grew grey with weariness, and ever and anon he called the name of Faramir, but each time more faintly to the hearing, as if Aragorn himself was removed from them, and walked afar in some dark vale, calling for one that was lost. And at last Beregild came running in, and he bore 6 leaves and a cloth. "It is Kingsfoil, sir," he said, "but not fresh, I fear. It must have been culled 2 weeks ago at the least. I hope it will serve, sir." Then, looking at Faramir, he burst into tears. But Aragorn smiled. "It will serve," he said. "The worst is now over. Stay and be comforted." Then, taking 2 leaves, he laid them on his hands and breathed on them, and then he crushed them, and straightway a living freshness filled the room, as if the air itself awoke and tingled, sparkling with joy. And then he cast the leaves into the bowls of steaming water that were brought to him, and at once all hearts were lightened. For the fragrance that came to each was like a memory of dewy mornings of unshadowed sun in some land of which the fair world in spring is itself but a fleeting memory. But Aragorn stood up as one refreshed, and his eyes smiled as he held a bowl before Faramir's dreaming face. "Well now, who would have believed it?" said Eorath to a woman that stood beside her. "The weed is better than I thought. It reminds me of the roses of Imloth Melwy when I was a lass, and no king could ask for better." Suddenly Faramir stirred, and he opened his eyes, and he looked on Aragorn, who bent over him, and a light of knowledge and love was kindled in his eyes, and he spoke softly. "My lord, you called me. I come. What does the king command?" "Walk no more in the shadows, but awake," said Aragorn. "You are weary. Rest a while, and take food, and be ready when I return."
"I will, lord," said Faramir. "Who would lie idle when the king has returned?"
"Farewell, then, for a while," said Aragorn. "I must go to others who need me." And he left the chamber with Gandalf and Imrahil. But Beregond and his son remained behind, unable to contain their joy. As he followed Gandalf and shut the door, Pippin heard Eorath exclaim,
"King, did you hear that? What did I say? The hands of a healer, I said."
And soon the word had gone out from the house that the king was indeed come among them, and after war he brought healing, and the news ran through the city. But Aragorn came to Eowyn, and he said, "Here there is a grievous hurt and a heavy blow. The arm that was broken has been tended with due skill, and it will mend in time, if she has the strength to live. It is the shield arm that is maimed, but the chief evil comes through the sword arm. In that there now seems no life, although it is unbroken. Alas, for she was pitted against a foe beyond the strength of her mind or body,
and those who will take a weapon to such an enemy must be sterner than steel, if the very shock shall not destroy them. It was an evil doom that set her in his path, for she is a fair maiden, fairest lady of a house of queens, and yet I know not how I should speak of her. When I first looked on her and perceived her unhappiness, it seemed to me that I saw a white flower standing straight and proud, shapely as a lily, and yet knew that it was hard, as if wrought by elf rites out of steel. Or was it, maybe, a frost that had turned its sap to ice? And so it stood, bitter-sweet, still fair to see, but stricken, soon to fall and die. Her malady begins far back before this day, does it not, Eomer? I marvel that you should ask me, Lord, he answered, for I hold you blameless in this matter, as in all else. Yet I knew not that Eowyn, my sister, was touched by any frost until she first looked on you. Care and dread she had, and shared with me, in the days of Wormtongue and the king's bewitchment. And she tended the king in growing fear, but that did not bring her to this pass.
My friend, said Gandalf, you had horses and deeds of arms and the free fields. But she, born in the body of a maid, had a spirit and courage at least the match of yours. Yet she was doomed to wait upon an old man whom she loved as a father, and watch him falling into a mean, dishonored dotage, and her part seemed to her more ignoble than that of the staff he leaned on. Think you that Wormtongue had poison only for Theoden's ears? Dotard! What is the house of Eol but a thatched barn where brigands drink in the reek and their brats roll on the floor among their dogs? Have you not heard those words before? Saruman spoke them, the teacher of Wormtongue. Though I do not doubt that Wormtongue at home wrapped their meaning in terms more cunning. My lord, if your sister's love for you and her will still bent to her duty had not restrained her lips, you might have heard even such things as these escape them. But who knows what she spoke to the darkness, alone, in the bitter watches of the night, when all her life seemed shrinking, and the walls of her bower closing in about her, a hutch to trammel some wild thing in?
Then Eomer was silent, and looked on his sister, as if pondering anew all the days of their past life together. But Aragorn said,
I saw also what you saw, Eomer. Few other griefs amid the ill chances of this world have more bitterness and shame for a man's heart than to behold the love of a lady so fair and brave that cannot be returned. Sorrow and pity have followed me ever since I left her desperate in Dunharrow and rode to the paths of the dead. And no fear upon that way was so present as the fear for what might befall her. And yet, Eomer, I say to you that she loves you more truly than me. For you she loves and knows, but in me she loves only a shadow and a thought, a hope of glory and great deeds, and lands far from the fields of Rohan. I have, maybe, the power to heal her body, and to recall her from the dark valley. But to what she will awake, hope or forgetfulness or despair, I don't know. And if to despair, then she will die, unless other healing comes, which I cannot bring. Alas! For her deeds have set her among the queens of great renown. Then Aragorn stooped and looked in her face, and it was indeed white as a lily, cold as frost, and hard as graven stone. But he bent and kissed her on the brow, and called her softly, saying, Eowyn, Eomer's daughter, awake, for your enemy has passed away. She didn't stir, but now she began again to breathe deeply, so that her breast rose and fell beneath the white linen of the sheet. Once more Aragorn bruised two leaves of Arthelas and cast them into steaming water, and he laved her brow with it, and her right arm lying cold and nerveless on the coverlet. Then, whether Aragorn had indeed some forgotten power of westerness,
whether it was but his words of the Lady Eowyn that wrought on them. As the sweet influence of the herb stole about the chamber, it seemed to those who stood by that a keen wind blew through the window, and it bore no scent, but was an air wholly fresh and clean and young, as if it had not before been breathed by any living thing, and came new-made from snowy mountains high beneath a dome of stars, or from shores of silver far away, washed by seas of foam.
"Awake, Eowyn, Lady of Rohan," said Aragorn again, and he took her right hand in his, and felt it warm with life returning. "Awake! The shadow is gone, and all darkness is washed clean." Then he laid her hand in Eomer's and stepped away. "Call her," he said, and he passed silently from the chamber.
"Eowyn! Eowyn!"
cried Eomer amid his tears. But she opened her eyes and said,
"Eomer, what joy is this? For they said that you were slain."
"Nay, but that was only the dark voices in my dream. How long have I been dreaming?"
"Not long, my sister," said Eomer, "but think no more on it."
"I am strangely weary," she said. "I must rest a little. But tell me, what of the Lord of the Mark? Alas! Do not tell me that that was a dream, for I know that it was not. He is dead as he foresaw."
"He is dead," said Eomer, "but he bade me say farewell to Eowyn, dearer than daughter. He lies now in great honour in the citadel of Gondor."
"That is grievous," she said, "and yet it is good beyond all that I dared hope in the dark days, when it seemed that the house of Eol was sunk in honour less than any shepherd's cot. And what of the king's esquire, the halfling?"
"Eomer, you shall make him a knight of the Riddermark, for he is valiant."
"He lies nearby in this house, and I will go to him," said Gandalf. "Eomer shall stay here for a while, but don't speak yet of war or woe until you're made whole again. Great gladness it is to see you wake again to health and hope, so valiant a lady."
"To health?" said Eowyn. "It may be so, at least while there is an empty saddle of some fallen rider that I can fill, and there are deeds to do. But to hope, I don't know."
Gandalf and Pippin came to Merry's room, and there they found Aragorn standing by the bed.
"Poor old Merry!"
cried Pippin, and he ran to the bedside, for it seemed to him that his friend looked worse, and a greyness was in his face, as if a weight of years of sorrow lay on him, and suddenly a fear seized Pippin that Merry would die.
"Do not be afraid," said Aragorn. "I came in time, and I've called him back. He's weary now, and grieved, and he's taken a hurt like the Lady Eowyn, daring to smite that deadly thing. But these evils can be amended, so strong and gay a spirit is in him. His grief he will not forget, but it won't darken his heart. It will teach him wisdom."
Then Aragorn laid his hand on Merry's head, and passing his hand gently through the brown curls, he touched the eyelids and called him by name. And when the fragrance of Arthelus stole through the room, like the scent of orchards, and of heather in the sunshine full of bees, suddenly Merry awoke, and he said,
"I'm hungry. What's the time?"
"Past supper time now," said Pippin, "though I dare say I could bring you something, if they'll let me."
"They will indeed," said Gandalf, "and anything else that this rider of Rohan may desire, if it can be found in Minas Tirith, where his name is in honour."
"Good," said Merry.
"Then I'd like supper first, and after that a pipe."
At that his face clouded. "No, not a pipe. I don't think I'll smoke again."
"Why not?" said Pippin.
"Well," answered Merry slowly, "he's dead. It's brought it all back to me. Almost the last thing he ever said. I shan't ever be able to smoke again without thinking of him, and that day, Pippin, when he rode up to Isengard and was so polite. "Smoke, then, and think of him," said Aragorn. "For here was a gentle heart and a great king that kept his oaths, and he rose out of the shadows to a last fair morning. Though your service to him was brief, it should be a memory glad and honorable to the end of your days."
Merry smiled.
"Well, then," he said, "if Strider will provide what's needed, I'll smoke and think. I had some of Saruman's best in my pack, but what became of it in the battle, I'm sure I don't know."
"Master Meriadoc," said Aragorn, "if you think that I've passed through the mountains and the realm of Gondor with fire and sword to bring herbs to a careless soldier who throws away his gear, you're mistaken. If your pack has not been found, then you must send for the herb master of this house. And he'll tell you that he didn't know that the herb you desire had any virtues, but that it's called Westman's Weed by the vulgar, and Galenus by the noble, and other names in other tongues more learned, and after adding a few half-forgotten rhymes that he doesn't understand, he'll regretfully inform you that there is none in the house, and he'll leave you to reflect on the history of tongues. And so now must I, for I haven't slept in such a bed as this since I rode from Dunharrow, nor eaten since the dark before dawn."
Medi seized his hand and kissed it. "I'm frightfully sorry," he said. "Go at once. Ever since that night at Bree we've been such a nuisance to you, but it's the way of my people to use light words at such times and say less than they mean.
We fear to say too much. It robs us of the right words when a jest is out of place."
"I know that well, or I would not deal with you in the same way," said Aragorn. "May the Shire live forever unwithered."
And kissing Merry he went out, and Gandalf went with him. Pippin remained behind.
"Was there ever anyone like him?" he said. "Except Gandalf, of course. I think they must be related. My dear ass, your pack is lying by your bed, and you had it on your back when I met you. He saw it all the time, of course. And anyway, I have some stuff of my own. Come on now. Longbottom Leaf it is. Fill up while I run and see about some food, and then let's be easy for a bit. Dear me, we Tooks and Bandybucks, we can't live long on the heights."
"No," said Merry. "I can't. Not yet, at any rate. But at least, Pippin, we can now see them and honour them. It's best to love first what you're fitted to love, I suppose. You must start somewhere and have some roots, and the soil of the Shire is deep. Still, there are things deeper and higher, and not a gaffer could tend his garden in what he calls peace but for them, whether he knows about them or not. I'm glad that I know about them a little. But I don't know why I'm talking like this. Where is that leaf? And get my pipe out of my pack, if it isn't broken." Aragorn and Gandalf went now to the Warden of the Houses of Healing, and they counselled him that Faramir and Eowyn should remain there and still be tended with care for many days.
"The Lady Eowyn," said Aragorn, "will wish soon to rise and depart. But she should not be permitted to do so, if you can in any way restrain her, until at least 10 days be passed." "As for Faramir," said Gandalf, "he will soon learn that his father is dead. But the full tale of the madness of Denethor should not be told to him until he is quite healed and has duties to do. See that Beregond and the Perian who are present do not speak to him of these things yet. And the other Perian, Meriadoc, who is under my care, what of him?" said the Warden. "It's likely that he'll be fit to arise tomorrow for a short while," said Aragorn. "Let him do so if he wishes. He may walk a little in the care of his friends." "They are a remarkable race," said the Warden, nodding his head. "Very tough in the fibre, I deem." At the doors of the houses, many were already gathered to see Aragorn, and they followed after him. And when at last he had supped, men came and prayed that he would heal their kinsmen or their friends, whose lives were in peril through
through hurt or wound, or who lay under the black shadow. And Aragorn arose and went out, and he sent for the sons of Elrond, and together they labored far into the night. And word went through the city, "The king is come again indeed." And they named him Elfstone, because of the green stone that he wore, and so the name which it was foretold at his birth that he should bear was chosen for him by his own people. And when he could labor no more, he cast his cloak about him, and slipped out of the city, and went to his tent just ere dawn, and slept for a little. And in the morning the banner of Dol Amroth, a white ship like a swan upon blue water, floated from the tower, and men looked up and wondered if the coming of the king had been but a dream.